Welcome. What is faith? We're going to be talking about a character in the Bible, Abraham, whose faith the Bible speaks of. His faith was so strong that the Bible speaks of him as God's friend, as a friend of God. First, let us find out what faith is all about. So what is faith? Faith, according to the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the sign that the things not seen are true. This is the basic English version. Now let's look at some examples of the faith that has just been described by the Hebrew writer. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Hebrews 11:31 talks about someone who didn't know the true God. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not die with those who were disobedient, because she had welcomed the spies with a greeting of peace. Now notice, Noah condemned the world by obeying God, showing his faith by action. The world perished because of not taking heed to Noah's preaching. Now, what's so interesting about Noah and Rahab? Noah knew the one true God. God spoke to him, told him what he had planned for the world, commanded him to build the ark, and according to Genesis 6:22, everything that God commanded Noah to do, Noah did. Now, Rahab, on the other hand, didn't know the one true God. She only heard about what Jehovah God did for the children of Israel. However, she had faith in what she heard and acted on the faith. And you know something? The result of the faith of Noah, who knew God, and Rahab, who only heard about what God did, were the same. They and their families were saved from death. The Hebrew writer and the writer James both include Rahab with those who are referred to as the heroes of faith. In Hebrews 11:31 and James 2:25, James 2:26 also makes it clear that as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, meaning faith without action, which includes obedience, is worth nothing and is unacceptable to God. Now we can read about two men of God whose faith pleased God to the extent that God didn't let them die. He took them from this earth while they were alive. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and then he was gone because God took him. 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah and Elisha, who was going to succeed Elijah after the Lord took him, were walking and talking, and a fiery chariot with fiery horses separated the two of them, and Elijah went to heaven in a windstorm. Now, we're going to be talking about someone who had completely put his trust in the great I Am, Jehovah God Almighty. His name is Abraham. But first, let's see if we can get a better understanding about how faith works in the world, in the physical sense. Does it work the same way? Our spiritual faith comes from the written word of God. Is it possible for the written word in the physical world to cause people to have faith and to act on that faith? Well, let's take a look at an example. So the question is, who has faith? The answer, everyone. This whole world runs on faith. Let's take a look at the biblical definition of faith again. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. The contemporary version says faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Can you imagine this world, what it would be like without faith? Without faith, people wouldn't set their alarms to go to work, and why should they? They're not even sure whether they're going to wake up that morning or whether the job is going to be there, even if they wake up. Faith makes them set that alarm, for they are sure that they will wake up, the job will be there, and they will get to work on time. People wouldn't put their money in the bank or buy into stocks or anything like that when they may have to use it. Why should they? When they're not even sure they're going to live long enough to see a day when they will have to use their savings. Faith calls them to save because they believe this is a possibility. People usually get paid every week or every 2 weeks. They work faithfully without demanding that they get paid every week. Why? Because faith causes them to work the time that is required by their job, believing that at the end of that time requirement, they will receive their paycheck. Now, these examples of faith are similar to the description that the Hebrew writer describes in Hebrews 11:1. However, this type of faith is based on their life experiences. They've been working on their job. They've been getting paid, been in situations I knew or seen or heard about others who were in the situation where savings had to be used because of job loss, etc. Now, what about faith from what is written? There are no more miracles or signs to see to cause us to have faith, nor does God or his angels come to us in dreams and visions anymore. What we have is the written word of God to follow. And that written word of God for us who have been born again is sufficient. The question is, can the written word cause people to have this same type of faith as we have in worldly affairs? Yes, it can and does. People love to go shopping, especially in New York City. It seems that when they are shopping, they have a different expression on their faces, an expression of anticipation. If they can't buy what they need or want here in the city, they'll travel to other parts of the state to shop, even to nearby states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Traveling to these other places, especially when driving, often causes discomfort, disappointment, aggravation, and other problems, not to mention paying tolls, heavy traffic, dealing with parking regulations and cars being broken into, and the list goes on. However, none of these negative situations discourages nor hinders them from continuing to go shopping in these other places where they are assured that they will be able to buy the things that they need or desire. Nevertheless, they would love to have a shopping mall in their neighborhood, which would alleviate most or maybe all of the problems that they have been going through. One day, as some of them pass the same empty lot in the neighborhood that they've been doing for years, they see something different. They see a sign on that empty lot that says, "Coming soon to this neighborhood, the anything you want or need, we have shopping mall." The residents of this neighborhood, especially those who are long-distance shoppers, believe what the sign says and are anxiously looking forward to the grand opening. These residents are excited about this and start taking the news to the other parts of the neighborhood, telling them about the soon-to-come shopping mall. First, they read the good news, they believed the good news, and then they started spreading the good news. They spread the news because they were sure that what they read about would become true. Their faith was an action faith. They read it, believed it, and then they spread it. Now, we have never seen heaven, nor have we seen God. Our faith comes from believing in what the Holy Scriptures teach us. The faith of those New York City residents looking forward to the coming shopping mall is likened unto the faith that we have, looking forward to being with God for all eternity in heaven. Now, there is a difference between worldly faith and spiritual faith. The difference between worldly faith and spiritual faith is worldly faith doesn't always bring the desired results. In fact, sometimes the results are disastrous, deadly. Example one, a mother was on the phone talking with her daughter, telling her that when she got home, she would help her with her homework. Her mother never arrived home because she died in the World Trade Center 9/11. Some young ladies knew that they were going to be drinking and didn't want to be responsible for having an accident, rented a car with the driver to be on the safe side. They never arrived home because they died when the driver crashed the car. On the other hand, spiritual faith is believing in what God's word tells us concerning the benefits of believing what God promises through his holy word are true, and that if we continue to live faithful, we are commanded, we won't be disappointed at the day of judgment, and we'll hear the Lord, our Savior and King, saying to us, who are on his right side, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Revelation 2:10, the Lord says, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Now, what is God's attitude towards faith? Without faith, we cannot please God. We go back to Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. We see that the faith that Noah and Rahab had was a faith of action, not a faith only. Their faith led them to do the necessary things that showed God that they believed that he was able to carry out his promise. Noah never saw heavy torrents of rain or great floods, built an ark. Having faith in God's promise to send down rain and cause a great flood. Rahab had heard about what God did. Joshua 2:10, she said, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, unto Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it," verse 11, "our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any spirit in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." She got them to make an oath to save her and her family. They agreed to it as long as Joshua 2:20, she kept the agreement and followed the plan. We back up to verse 18. They said, "When we come into the land, you put this cord of bright red thread in the window from which you let us down, and get your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house." Now, there were two conditions that came with that oath that the spies made to Rahab. Verse 20, "If you say anything about our business here, then we will be free from the oath you made us take." Back up to verse 19. They told her, "If anyone goes out of your home into the street, his blood will be on his head. We will not be responsible. But if any damage comes to anyone in the house, his blood will be on our heads." We see in all these examples of faith without action. A faith with action. Now, is there anywhere in the holy written word of God where we can read that a servant of God intending on following completely God's command, who failed because of being in a frame of mind that hindered him from doing exactly what God commanded? Any deviation whatsoever from God's command, no matter what caused it, God considers it unbelief. Now let's see what God's attitude is when he tells a servant to do something, and that servant doesn't do it the way God wanted to. In Numbers chapter 20, the people started complaining to Moses and Aaron because there was no water. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell on their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Verses 7 and 8, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather the assembly together, then you and Aaron your brother go and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give water. And then you bring forth the water out of the rock so that you can give to the congregation and their beasts to drink. Now this is the reason that God told Moses he didn't believe him. Numbers 29, Moses obeyed, took his stick from the sacred tent. Verse 10, after he and Aaron had gathered the people around the rock, he said, look, you rebellious people, and you will see water flow from this rock. His anger caused him to lose focus on what the Lord commanded him to do. Verse 11, he raised the stick in the air and struck the rock, not once, but twice. The water gushed out of the rock. God kept his promise. But Moses, because of his anger, didn't do what God commanded him to do. He disobeyed. Now, this is what God had to say about what Moses did. God told both Moses and Aaron to assemble the children of Israel together. Moses and Aaron were both responsible for Moses doing all that the Lord commanded. When he saw Moses becoming upset at these rebellious people, he could have reminded Moses what the Lord said do. Could have caused Moses to calm down and do what the Lord commanded him to do. Verse 12, Jehovah said unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Aaron helped Moses before. When Amalek fought against Israel and Moses' hands got tired, he got help from Aaron and Hur, who held his hands up, and by doing so, Amalek and his army lost the battle. We can find this in Exodus chapter 17, verses 10 to 16. What have we learned about faith? Faith pleases God. Faith is action, not lip service. And faith was and still a way of life for those who choose to serve the great I am. Now we will investigate why Abraham was called a friend of God. The call of Abraham. When God called Abraham, he was living in a city in Babylonia called Ur of the Chaldees. Ur was a very advanced city and was believed to have been founded some 500 years before the time of Abraham. The false religion of astrology, which was begun at Babel, was practiced there as it was in all of Babylonia. Abraham's father, Terah, according to Joshua 24:2, worshiped idols. Ur was an idolatrous city worshiping many different gods, such as the god of fire, moon, sun, and stars. Sin was the name of the chief idol deity of Ur. Ningal was the wife of the moon god. Sin and was worshiped by as a mother god in many other cities. Ur was an evil and sinful city, as can be seen by the worship practices of the moon goddess Ningal. Every female in that city at some time in her life would have to take her turn in serving as a priestess harlot in the temples. With a father who worshiped idols and a city dedicated to wickedness, Abraham was not raised in the best of environments. Yet, when God called Abraham, Abraham believed God and by faith followed God's instructions. Hebrews 11 and 8 states that by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey, he went out not knowing where he went. Note, when Abraham heard the voice of God, the scriptures don't give any hint that when God spoke to him, he questioned who God was. When God spoke to him, he went. Was Abraham strong in faith? The answer is there were times when his faith was weak, as we see in Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham lied because he feared for his life, and in Genesis chapter 17, where he laughed at the thought of him and Sarah being past the childbearing age, being parents. However, as he continued to walk with God and serve him, his faith grew to the extent that he completely put his faith in the great I Am, as we will see. But God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham knew that he was going to sacrifice his son, but had faith that God was going to keep his promises. Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, him that cursed thee will I curse, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 17:21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. What a powerful, all-knowing God we serve. He's talking about establishing a covenant with someone, one, who has not yet been born, two, whose parents have passed the fertility age and thought that pregnancy was impossible, but that was because they didn't understand the power of God, whose parents laughed at the thought of having children, whose name God knew even before he was born. Isaac, the promised seed, now has been born. He's a young lad and is with his father on the way to sacrifice to God, not knowing that he is the sacrifice. We already read that God promised Abraham he was going to establish his covenant with his son Isaac, who had not yet been born. Now that he has been born, God is telling Abraham to sacrifice him. Now, this is the kind of faith that pleases God. Abraham said to his young men in Genesis 22, chapter 22, verse 5, Abraham says to his young men, the young men with him, he said, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. This same Abraham is called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20:7, we read, did you not, O Lord, our God, after driving out the people of this land before your people Israel, give it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? James 2:23, the scripture says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. The writer James is quoting Genesis 15:6. The apostle Paul says something very interesting about the relationship between Abraham and those of us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, which corresponds to the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Galatians 3:29, Paul says, if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Because of Abraham's relationship with Jehovah God, Abraham pleaded with God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. First, he pleaded with God that if 50 righteous people were found, not to destroy the cities, and continued until the count went down to 10. There were not even 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless us and our faith will continue to grow, so that we will be a shining light to the sinful world and show those who have no hope that there is hope in Christ Jesus. There is victory in Christ Jesus. Our faith assures us that God's promises are true. And that's why we can sing with joy, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. May we all strive to have that same faith that Abraham had. For that type of faith is what pleases God. May God continue to bless all of us and increase our faith, our knowledge of his holy word, so that we will always be ready to do good, do the things that are pleasing and acceptable to him. Be always ready to give an answer to those who wish to know about the hope that is within us and give us the boldness that we need when we confront those who would twist and misuse God's holy word, whether in ignorance or for their own purpose. Amen.